Another solid bout of monthly job creation in the United States has cleared the way, could it happen, for the country's first official rate increase in nearly 10 years. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, with us. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, James.
So is there any doubt now the Federal Reserve in the United States will raise interest rates on December 16th?
Well, financial markets are pricing in a rate rise as a 75% chance, so still not a certainty, but this solid jobs report pretty much all but guarantees a rate rise now. Another 200,000 plus jobs were created in the US in November. That was on top of a whopping nearly 300,000 in October. So it's clear the US labour market has substantially recovered, I guess, from the damage inflicted by the GFC. At its peak in 2009, the jobless rate in the US hit 10%. It's now half that level at 5%. But look, it's taken, 6 years of very easy monetary policy from the US Federal Reserve, including three rounds of quantitative easing to get here. And still not everyone's convinced the US economy is strong enough to withstand higher interest rates, particularly as a lot of these new jobs that have come on stream post the GFC are what you might call low quality ones, you know, part-time jobs with low wages in sectors like construction. And that's why the Fed is promising to proceed cautiously. I mean, for all the song and dance, James, the Fed funds rate will rise by just 25 basis points next week, lifting it from near zero to a range of 0.25% to 0.5%. And after that, rates will rise slowly and gradually. Indeed, you know, the funds rate may never get back to the pre-GFC level of 5.25%. And that's calmed, you know, worried financial markets, which have been convulsing this year at the prospect of higher US interest rates. Wall Street climbed 2% on Friday. Investors are finally cheering is a stronger US economic growth outlook.
And what impact, if the interest rates increase, will that have on Australia, in particular our dollar, which rose through 73 US cents last week?
Well, a healthy US economy is, you know, good news for everyone. America's still the world's largest economy. It's also delivered a stronger US dollar, which, I mean, along with falling commodity prices, has helped push our dollar down by around, 20% in the past year. So that's good news for our economy again, is it? You know, as we try to find new sources of growth beyond the mining boom. But as liftoff for US interest rates approaches, the rally in the greenback is now slowing, and that's brought the descent in our currency to a temporary halt, hopefully only temporary. In early September, the dollar fell as low as 69 US cents, but it's been holding well above that since then. And as you said this morning, it's at 73.3 US cents. The surprising thing is that during this period, the iron ore price has actually continued to slump. It actually hit an 8-year low of 40 US dollars a ton last week. Now, that should have caused our currency to fall even further, but instead it rose last week. So, you know, what's going on? Well, it seems that global investors are falling back in love with Australia because of our apparent resilience in the face of a Chinese slowdown, as the solid GDP figures out last week showed. I mean, that's a great vote of confidence in our economy, but it's also a double-edged sword because a stronger dollar, of course, could derail our growth trajectory. Economists think the dollar will continue to fall as the rate rises start to kick in the US, but look, it's a bit of a risk for the outlook for the Australian economy.
And another commodity which continues to fall in price is oil. It took a tumble on Friday when OPEC failed to cut production. Is that good or bad news for the Australian economy?
Well, cheaper oil is good news for us because we're an oil importing economy. Since OPEC, led by Saudi Arabia, began cranking up production a year ago in a bid to drive higher cost producers like the US shale oil producers out of business, which, by the way, has so far failed, the price of oil has actually halved. Brent crude, which is what our petrol price tracks, is now down to $43 a barrel. US crude is under $40. Now, Goldman Sachs thinks it could fall another 50% to $20 a barrel. And that's because supply and demand is now completely out of whack. I mean, on the supply side, new technologies around shale oil production has turned the US from an oil importer to an oil exporter. OPEC refuses to cut production in the face of that. And now Iran is about about to dump more oil on the market as sanctions are lifted. Meanwhile, demand is weaker because, you know, China is slowing and they're the biggest oil consumer. And it means the world is now awash with oil. Now, that, as I said, is good news for importing countries like Australia, because cheaper oil means cheaper energy, which in turn means lower prices for everything, from the price of groceries at the supermarket to the price of overseas holidays. But there are negatives. I mean, as you were talking about earlier, we're in the final week of the Paris climate talks, and the IMF is warning that permanently low fossil fuel prices could choke off investment in renewable sources of energy, hinder the fight against climate change. Cheap oil also poses some significant geopolitical risks, James. It undermines the economies of oil producing countries like Iraq, for example. It's been made effectively bankrupt by the oil price crash. Indeed, analysts say four of the frontline states in the fight against ISIS are now being destabilized by the crash in oil prices, and that includes Algeria and Libya. So there are good reasons why we shouldn't wish for a permanently low oil price.
Fascinating. And what will the rally on Wall Street on Friday mean for the Australian markets? Brighten the mood this morning?
Look, it should. Futures trading is pointing to a 0.6% rise on opening, and that should help claw back what was a 1.5% fall in our market on Friday after some disappointing comments from the European Central Bank. But we're likely to see volatility in global financial markets kind of increase, you know, as in the lead up to the Fed meeting next week on December 16. Australian shares are still 5% down for the year. You should have had your money in Japanese stocks. I think they're up about 12%. But analysts are still hoping that we'll get this traditional Santa Claus rally that'll turn things around by the end of the year. We have the government's innovation statement today, but as it's focused on assisting startups, it's unlikely to have much impact on the market, on publicly listed companies, not you know, for the time being at least. The focus for investors, though, will be on Thursday's job market, job data from the ABS. Will be, you know, investors, economists want to see whether that strong job creation number last month was a one-off. It was about 60,000 jobs created here last month, or, you know, whether it's, you know, really the promise of a stronger labour market ahead. And that's why our dollar went up last week, you know, 73.3 US cents. James.
You heard it here. Business editor Cheryl Bagwell, thank you very much.
Thanks, James.
Only 18 sleeps till the Santa Claus rally for the kiddies and superannuants.